about 2 months ago or so, I read something that had this statement on it. Uncertainty leads to the pursuit of truth. And reading that statement, it just kind of caught my attention, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, well, you know, that'll preach, okay? That'll preach really well. If you think about it, let it kind of sink in a little bit, you realize, you know, there's an awful lot of uncertainty going on in the world, isn't there? There are a lot of people who are uncertain about a lot of things, and they're just kind of wandering around out there, content to be uncertain. But there are a lot of people who are uncertain about those very same things, and they are in a pursuit of the truth. They want to find out what are the real answers, the right answers to the questions that I have about all of these different matters and situations and things in life. And so what I decided to do was to take that and to focus on some of those different situations to see what is the truth about those things that so many people are so uncertain about. For instance, there's a lot of folks that are just confused about God. Who is God? What does he do? Why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he do that? And they're just confused. And the world is certainly sowing a lot of confusion about God and a lot of these other topics. And so we need to look at it and see. Because people don't know when they're confused, they don't know what direction to go in. And when it comes to matters of faith and God, a lot of people are just saying, I don't really know what I believe. Because as we were talking about in our Bible class, there's so many things being told to people. I mean, you think about the fact there are 41,000 different groups that claim to be Christians. That's a lot of confusion, isn't it? You say. So people are confused. They're uncertain about what to do and where to go and the answers to a lot of these questions. So there's a lot of uncertainty ahead in people's lives. Okay? Ran across this particular quote. Ryan Hall, don't really know who he is, but I ran across this and I liked it. He said, I'm constantly searching for the truth amidst a sea of confusion and uncertainty. And there's a lot of people like that. I run into a lot of people that ask me questions about the Bible, about church, and about God, and they're just unsure. They're uncertain about what to believe anymore, about what to do. The truth about the truth. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. Okay? In this series of lessons, we're going to talk about a lot of different subject matter, a lot of different things that people are uncertain about and confused about and so forth. But if we're going to pursue the truth about those matters, then what I'm suggesting is we need to begin by knowing what the truth is. Make sense? It did to me, okay? So we're going to focus this morning on finding out in search of the truth. What is the truth? Okay? Because we need to know that before we can really find out the truth on all these other kinds of issues. There's a college professor, I've been told, that said to his students in his class, there is no absolute truth. One of his students spoke up and said, are you absolutely sure about that, sir? You see, when it comes to truth itself, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of confusion that is being sown out there in the world today. Okay? Because there are a lot of folks who seem absolutely sure that there is no such thing as absolute truth. There are no eternal facts and there are no absolute truths, he said. L. Ron Hubbard says, truth is what is true for you. We've talked about that before, just from the standpoint that that's the philosophy of the world today that says, truth is what you make it. You have your truth, I have my truth, and it's really what is true for you. Well, is that true? You say, hey, we need to find out. There is no such thing, some say, as an absolute truth. That is absolutely true. Let that one sink in for just a moment, okay? And Roger Iles, who's the president of Fox News Channel, says the truth is whatever people will believe. Let that one sink in for just a moment, okay? The truth is whatever I tell you it is, some people would say. Right? Whatever we can get people to believe, that's the truth. If you believe that's the truth, then that's the truth. Is that true? See? So we get into this kind of uncertainty. Who's to say what's true and what's not? Who gets to do that? Who gets to decide, do I get to for the church because I'm the preacher? No, it's not my job. You see? Do you get to decide what is true for you? Does everybody get to do that? Then we don't have any truths. We have a whole lot of ideas. We have a whole lot of what people like, but we don't really have a whole lot of truth there. Uncertainty. Someone said uncertainty is an uncomfortable position, but certainty is an absurd one. In other words, those who believe that you really can't be certain about anything. Okay? And so we just need to learn to be comfortable with being uncertain about everything. Because you can't really be certain about anything. I don't know about you, but that seems to me to be totally illogical. Okay? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Here are some self-defeating truth claims. In other words, things that people say about truth. And some questions that we need to ask concerning that. First of all, they would say all truth is relative. You've heard of the idea of relative truth. Depends on the situation. It depends on what you're dealing with. Depends on who it is. That's what determines the truth. But is that a relative truth? Okay. How about this one? As we've already said, there are no absolutes. We need to ask that question. Are you absolutely sure there are no absolutes? Okay. It's true for you, but not true for me, some people would say. Is that statement true just for you, or is it true for everyone? Okay? Well, here's some others. What is truth, actually? Okay? Truth is transcultural. In other words, if something is true, then it's true for everybody, everywhere, all the time. For the example, it is up here. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Thank you. I wasn't sure. Some of you didn't know what that truth was, okay? Because I only got a couple responses. That is a truth, isn't it? I mean, you can add 2 plus 2 all day long, every day, for the next rest of your life, and you will still come up with 4. All right? Is that an absolute truth? Absolutely it is, okay? So right there, that dispels the whole idea that there is no absolute truth. Because everybody knows from kindergarten that 2 plus 2 is 4. Okay? And that is an absolute truth. And it's true no matter where you are, no matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter. It's true. Okay? A second one here is that truth is unchanging. All right? Beliefs about truth may change, but not truth. You know, a few centuries back, there were a lot of people that believed that the earth was flat. Well, that didn't make the earth flat, did it? Okay? And their beliefs changed, but that didn't change the truth at all. Okay? Fortunately, people were able to see by the evidence that their thinking was wrong. And they came around to the realization that the earth is not really flat. They came around, in other words, to accept the truth. All right? And then finally, truth is not affected by an attitude of one professing it. Now think about that for just a moment. In other words, as it says here, an arrogant person does not make the truth he professes to be false. And a humble person does not make the error he professes to be true. It doesn't really matter what the attitude of the person is that's professing it. Truth is truth, no matter what. Okay? It doesn't matter who's proclaiming it. It's still true. It doesn't matter when they're proclaiming it or when. It is still true. That is the nature of truth. You see? Let's take a look at what John writes for us in John chapter 18. When Jesus is before Pilate in his trial, okay, they have this conversation between Pilate and Jesus, and Pilate asks Jesus, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate then responded to what Jesus said with this famous statement, "What is truth?" And that's a question that a lot of people today are asking. The same one Pilate asked way back then of Jesus, people are still asking today, "What is truth?" And therein is the source of what I believe is the source of a lot of the confusion and the uncertainty about truth itself. What is truth? I need to know. Here's a question for you that a lot of people ask. And maybe you've asked this question of yourself. Why was I born? Why am I here? Okay? Or to put it another way, what's my purpose in life? You ever wondered that about yourself? If you wondered about someone else, why are they here? You see? But have you ever really wondered that about yourself and asked yourself, why was I even born into this world? Let me cause you to think about this question. Why did Jesus come here? Why was Jesus born? Now, if we're to ask, just a show of hands if you want to, okay, most people, at least church people, of the Christian variety would respond to that question by saying that Jesus came to die for our sins. Is that, how many of you would agree with that statement? Okay. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. That's why he was born. That's why he came. Do you realize that that's not what Jesus said? Let's go back to the passage we just read a moment ago in his conversation with Pilate. What did Jesus say about that? He said, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." You see, Jesus didn't say he came, he was born, and he came into the world to die on the cross for our sins. That's not what he said. He said he came to testify to the truth. Now, why is that significant? Did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? Some of you seem unsure. Everybody's head should be going like this. Okay? All right? That's true. He died on the cross for our sins. But he said the reason he came was to testify to the truth. And the reason that's so significant is because without his testimony concerning the truth, his death would have been in vain. Without the truth, there is no salvation. See? And we have to learn to accept the truth in order to reap the benefit of his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, if Jesus would have died on the cross without the truth, then he would have died like literally thousands of other people who were crucified by the Romans. And you and I would still be lost in our sins. See? Because it's not just simply the cross in and of itself that saves us. It is the truth that is attached to that cross. But without the truth, we would be lost. Okay? Jesus said it this way. Okay? If you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, in order for a person to be saved by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, they have to accept the truth. For there is no salvation without the truth. So Jesus declares his reason, his purpose in coming to this earth, in being born, was to testify concerning the truth. To bring the truth. Okay? And in the end of that same passage, he says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So, in other words, basically, there's not but two sides here, okay? All right? There's the side of truth, and there's the side of lies or falsehood. One or the other. If you don't have truth, then what's left? Lies, okay? All right? And so Jesus declares that those on the side of truth listen to him. So that would lead us to conclude that those who are not on the side of truth will not listen to him. See? Because there's no other side to be on. Thy word is truth, Jesus says. Let's talk about that. What is it? What is truth itself? Jesus identified clearly truth as being the Word of God. All right? In the text that Holloway read for us, John chapter 17, right? Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Now, I don't know how much clearer that can be. But I'll preach on that for the next 20 or 30 minutes if you need me to. Okay? No, you don't really need me to do that, do you? Because that's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? You want to know what the truth is? It's God's Word. All right? It's God's Word. Plain and simple. Your Word is truth. That's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's not anybody else's. It is the truth, God's Word. That's how Jesus defines it. In that text, here's a couple of things. Jesus, and he's praying to his Father. This is just before he is arrested and tried and then crucified. He's praying in the garden. And this part of his prayer, he says concerning his disciples. He says, I have given them your word. And look at this. He says, the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. And look at verse 16 again. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth or by the truth. Your word is truth. A couple of things we need to understand about what Jesus is really saying here. Okay? First of all, the world hates the truth. Okay? And so therefore it hates those who try to live by it.
Well,
So if you live by the truth, you need to understand the world's not going to like you very much, okay?
Well, that's right.
That is the truth, according to Jesus. Okay? Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. What does that mean? The word literally means to set apart or separate. That's what sanctification is. That's what it means. To set apart or to separate. Okay? So, therefore, we are to be set apart for God, and we do that by following His Word. Sanctify them by the truth. He says, set them apart by the truth. Your Word is truth. So, we're to be set apart for God by His Word. And then also, we are to be separated from the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Separate them from the world by your truth. John says it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them.
Well,
you see, why? Because we've got to be separated from the world. Now, you say, well, how do we do that? We live in the world. Yes, we do live in the world, but we cannot be part of the world. In other words, we cannot live according to the world's standards.
That's right.
We cannot accept even the world's truths because they aren't really truths to begin with. See, Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth, your word. We need to be separated and set apart for God's work, for His purpose, and from the world. Then there need to be, then, no uncertainty about what the truth is. Because it is simply God's word. Okay? Jesus clearly identified the truth. The world clearly rejects it. And that's something we've got to remember. You hear all the time in the news, I mean, there's stuff coming out of people today that I just sit and go, how in the world did we get here? I mean, when people don't know the difference between boys and girls anymore.
Well,
okay, we'll talk more about that in another lesson, but that's just one example. Okay? All right? You hearing me? The world is sowing all kinds of confusion out here. None of it is the truth.
That's right.
Well, God's already declared who are boys and who are girls, hadn't He?
Yes.
Okay, His word, the truth, He makes that very clear. Good. There's some of each. And we're all one of each. You say, no confusion about that kind of stuff.
One of each.
You say, but God's word is rejected by the world. You say, we need to decide: are we going to accept His truth, or are we going to follow along the world? All right. Finally, let's talk about where we're walking. Watch where you're walking. And you've probably seen some signs like this somewhere, right? Watch your step.
Well,
all right? There might be a trip hazard there. It might be, you know, whatever. Maybe there's some ice on the road. And so watch your step, right? And, of course, there are other reasons why you might want to watch your step. Okay? Depending on where you're walking. Watch your step, okay? All right? Here's my point. There is only light and there is only darkness for us to walk in. Those are the only two options. Okay? Look at what John writes in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. This is the message we had heard from you and declare, or heard from him and declare to you. God is light, he says. All right? In him, there is how much darkness?
No.
None. Literally, in the original language, it says, no, not any. Okay? There is no, not any darkness in God at all. You can't find it. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness,
we lie.
He says we lie. Not only do we lie, but He says we do not live by the truth. You cannot walk in the darkness and claim to be in fellowship with God, because why? Because there's no darkness in God. Okay? You can't do both, He's saying. It's one or the other. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and I love this part of it, we have fellowship with one another. And you've heard me talk about this before. The one another there, although we do have fellowship with one another, you know, that are also walking in the light, the one another John is referring to here is God Himself. You have fellowship with God if you're walking in the light as He is in the light.
Amen.
I like that idea of being in fellowship with God.
Amen.
You see?
Yes.
And that's what he's saying here. We have fellowship with Him. And not only do we have that fellowship, in other words, we're in a relationship with Him, but look what he says. The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Purifies us from all sin. And that word purifies in the Greek language is written in the present tense. And the reason that's so significant is because what it means is that it's happening right now. Okay? And so literally what John is telling us here is as long as we are walking in the light, His blood is continuing to purify us from all sin. Verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay? So, you know, if you think so highly of yourself, we talked about that in our last lesson, you think so highly of yourself that you think, no, I don't sin, you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. Let's go down to verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. And His word, or the truth, is not in us. So in other words, we need to have a clear understanding of the truth about sin. Okay? Because then and only then will we appreciate what he says in verse 9. Let's go back to verse 9 here. I skipped it intentionally, okay? All right, look at what he says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see? In other words, we have to accept the truth about our own sinful condition and be willing to confess our sins to Him and not pretend like we didn't sin. You know, as someone said, if you mess up, fess up, right? And if we do that, then His promise is that He will forgive us of those sins and will purify us of how much unrighteousness? All of it. All of it. Not going to leave anything there. He takes it all away. And it doesn't matter, by the way, how long it has been there. Okay? Doesn't matter. He's got some cleaning agent that will take away everything, including the stains. All right? Light versus dark. The truth is clear and absolute. You need to be thinking about and decide, where are you walking? Which one? Because there is no other choice. Chuck has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. We're going to sing that in just a moment. We use this as an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and ask for prayers or help in any way, and whatever might be going on in your life, you might need help with. It's also an opportunity for anyone who is not yet a Christian. If you have not given your life to Christ, then you need to understand that you are lost, separated from God by your sin. But the great news is that if you're ready to make a commitment to follow Jesus, then you can become a Christian right now, this moment. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then confess Him as Lord. That's what He wants. Confess Him as Lord. Make Him Lord of your life. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. All you got to do is come and let me know. And we'll do that right now. Whatever else we can help you with, we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. Dale and Ray will be in the back if anyone would like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them, and I'll be right up front here to receive anyone that would like to come up. Again, the opportunity, the invitation is extended to everyone. Whatever we can do to help you, let us know while we stand and sing.